There is a note sheet that's there if you'd like to use that. I know this is a familiar text, but we're not going to go real deeply into it, but I think this will be very helpful in our concluding our conference today. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. While you're turning there in your Bible, before I read, may I invite you back to be with us this Lord's Day evening. Looking forward to concluding our missions conference as we have begun to do in the last 4 or 5 years with one of our international communion services. Would you take the time this evening to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 this afternoon, verses 17 through 34. And that will be our focus in the Word of God. And if you've never spoken in an unknown language, this is your opportunity tonight. We come and if you don't know Japanese, Farsi, Chinese or Korean, you'll get your chance to speak in an unknown tongue tonight. And just come on and enjoy us. This is a great time of worship and praise. Our International Sunday School, our Chinese, our outreach Bible studies, the Japanese church, the Korean and the Hispanic churches that meet here with us. This is a great, great time. And we'll have that concluding service tonight around the table of the Lord. Look with me in Matthew chapter 28. I know this is a familiar text, but let's ask the Lord to make it fresh to us as we bring our conference of focusing on world evangelism to a focus. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The grass withers and the flower fades. This is the word of our God. It abides forever. Father, thank you for your word and your Holy Spirit, who moved through holy men to give us this word. Now, would you send that same Spirit to open my mouth, that the words of my mouth would be acceptable in your sight. Our hearts, that the meditations of our heart would be pleasing to you. Would you do that for your glory? In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Clay, at the beginning of the worship service, read some scripture passages that allowed us to see the activity of heaven in worship. Then we sung a song that comes from that text. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. The Bible also allows us, the scripture records a moment of eternity. The halls of eternity. The Bible says that a word went out. Who will go for us? And the psalmist, repeated in the book of Hebrews, tells us that an answer to that call also resounded in heaven. And the answer said, "Here am I, send me. For it is written in the scroll of the book that I delight to do your will, O my God." Jesus Christ is the one who said that. And if I may put it in the language of our missions conference, the word went into the heavens. Who will go? And Jesus said, "Count me in. I'll go. I will go." And the Bible tells us like the sun arising in the morning, the strong man leaving the tent, our Savior arose. The strong man came into the world and he humbled himself to the point of obedience, even death on a cross. He said, "I'll go." The Father sent him and he has saved us from our sins through that marvelous victory on the cross and the declaration of majesty in his resurrection. Then he goes up on another mountain beside Galilee. And from that mountain, he then says, "Go." and make disciples of all the nations. And the going and the sending continues. Are you a goer? Are you a sender? Are we to be goers or senders? You know, I know you have studied that Great Commission along with me and other pastors. And you know that the imperative verb in the text is not go, it's make disciples. And it tells you how to make disciples by going, baptizing, and teaching, those three participles. But yet I do want us to hear that word today, go. The one who heard, who will go, came. And because he came, we have been saved by grace. Now, he says, to the end of the age, go and send. He now sends us to go, and then he expects us not only to go, but to also send. Are you a goer? Are you a sender? The answer is yes. I'm a goer. I'm a sender. Every believer is to go. Now, some, like our focus in the conference, are called with a special going cross-culturally. But they're just to go somewhere else to do what they were doing before. That's what we're all supposed to be doing. We're going. We go to our neighborhood, to our family, to our children, with the gospel of Christ, to make disciples, drawing them to Christ, evangelizing them, growing them as they follow Christ. We are goers. We go to our family. We go to our children. We go to our neighbors. We go to our classrooms. We go to our athletic teams. We go to our recreation hobby gatherings and societies. We go to our office. We go to our gathering. We go. We go with the gospel of Jesus Christ anywhere and everywhere. He says, go. We're ready to go. And if you are a goer, he then says, you become a sender. And here is an amazing thing. I've even put the text for you in your note sheet. In 3 John, it says this, that when you support those and you send, you not only go, you enlarge your going because you go right along with them whom you send. When we support such people who go out for the sake of the name, not getting anything from the Gentiles, but they go and we send, when they go, we become, notice what it said in the text, fellow workers with them. We enlarge our going when we become senders. Jesus said, count me in. How about you? What will you say to Jesus? Count me in. I want to be a goer and I want to be a sender. I want to go right where I am. And I know you've called some other people to go and I want to send them. You know, this glorious movement. I love the way the prophecy of Daniel describes what we are involved in. What we are involved in was long before pictured for us in the book of Daniel. This kingdom of God in the name of the Christ, the Messiah, who would come, the Son of God, Son of Man, who would redeem sinners, is pictured as a small stone that begins to roll down the hill of time. And it gets larger and larger and larger. And it destroys the kingdoms of this world as finally the kingdom of our God is gloriously declared, and the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our God, and he shall reign forever and ever. And we're somewhere in the midst of that boulder rolling right now. We're somewhere in the midst of that small trickle from Mount Calvary that has become a river of living water that's flowing throughout all of the world, and the nations, the trees are gathering fruit from it, all as this stream of life flows. But if I could take it away from that large, glorious picture, may I speak to us personally? Going and sending? Are you a Christian today? Then somebody was a goer and came for you. Somebody was a goer. In fact, more than likely, more than one somebody was a goer. It took a whole bunch of goers to get me. goers. And by the way, if somebody was a goer, for you to become a Christian, that meant somebody was a goer to get them. And somebody discipled them and sent them to you. Now, will that come to you and stop? Or will you say, going and sending? Count me in. I'm going to be a goer and I'm going to be a sender. Can I just stop right here on the goer piece? We're doing Christ-centered disciple making. Christ-centered disciple makers are goers and senders. All goers, all senders. All goers, all senders. If you're not, I was at First Presbyterian Macon to do a missions conference a couple of weeks ago. And at the end of, right toward the end of it, they dismissed the missionaries. And he said, in fact, we did it last Sunday. And I thought about the same thing last Sunday as the missions pastor stood up at First Presbyterian Missions, First Presbyterian Macon. He said, okay, when all the missionaries exit, I thought the whole congregation would get up and leave. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I those 38 people. You. I mean, you're either a missionary or a mission field. Where every one of us are to be missionaries. Where every one of us are sent. And we're not only goers because we've been sent. We then become senders. Senders of others. And when they go, we enlarge our going because we become fellow workers with them. And so it comes down to very specific things where Jesus goes up to 12 men and he says, come. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Go and make disciples. And the 12 said, count me in. He had the 70. He sent them out according to the Gospel of Matthew. They said, count me in. He says to Peter, there's a Gentile over there. His name's Cornelius. Go. Peter said, count me in. And the first one of what most of us are was saved after the resurrection, a Gentile. Count me in. The church in Jerusalem said to Barnabas, boy, this gospel is going to a lot of people in Judea and Samaria, a place called Antioch. Barnabas, go. Barnabas said, count me in. I'll go. And then Barnabas reached out to a guy that he had befriended earlier and he said, hey, Saul, I need help. I want you to come. We're sending you to Antioch. Paul said, count me in. And then Antioch, who had gotten all this going and sending to them, they then said by the Holy Spirit, Paul, Barnabas, you go. Paul and Barnabas said, count me in. And the world got turned upside down. Count me in. And then it's continued generation after generation. There may come a day when there's a church that won't say, or a Christian that won't say, count me in. Oh, but by God's grace, may it not be this day. And by God's grace, may this church that has embraced that call, count me in, say again, afresh and anew, Jesus, you counted me in at the cross. Now, count me in for the Great Commission. Count me in. I'm ready to go. I want to be a part of what you are doing all around the world. I want to see it move and I want to be a part of it. The call to go has come to me. I have come to him. Now I want to go. And not only do I want to go, I want to be a sender. As well. The takeaways today are very simple. They're in your card. Could you pull it out for me? Could you hold it for me on the takeaways here? By the way, it's been designed so that you can have this little tear-off bookmark that's there. How do I go? I want to be a goer. I want to be a sender. And as a sender, I'm going to send other goers. And those goers are not only going to go, they're going to bring others. And they're going to become senders. And it's not going to stop here. It's going to keep widening. The stream's going to keep flowing. The stream's going to get larger and larger and larger until it goes throughout all the world, goers and senders. Now, how do you do it? I believe this card has been put together as a marvelous instrument. Nothing special about it except as an instrument. How can I be a goer and sender? How can we say to Jesus, this day, right now, count me in? Well, first of all, here's the first way. Count me in through intercessory prayer. Harry, why did you put that first? Because let me tell you, that's the trigger. You have not because you ask not. When we go, we got to go with power. And the power comes through word and the prayer. Count me in. I will make a commitment to intercessory prayer. I will be committed to world disciple making all around the world of all the nations, Christ-centered disciples. And this first point of counting me in is Jesus in my life, in my private devotions, in our family worship, in my car, wherever I am going to make a commitment to intercessory prayer for this, who these ones whom you have set aside to go. I'm going to send them with prayer. I cannot tell you how important that is. I'm not going to dodge the issue of financial resources. I'm not going to dodge the issue of whether God's calling you to go personally or not. But I do know this. We must undergird this with intercessory prayer. Now, I'm not asking you to pray for all 247 missionaries in all 65 countries where we have people. Now, if you can do that, praise the Lord. But I am asking you this. Would you just ask God and make a commitment? God, I don't know whether it's Asia, Southeast Asia. I don't know whether it's the islands of the Pacific. I don't know whether it's Europe. I don't know whether it's Africa. I don't know whether it's two of them. But I know this. In terms of intercessory prayer, I am going to make a commitment to engage in some systematic, regular intercessory prayer for the cause of making Christ-centered disciples of all the nations. And we'll get plenty of information to you here. But I am going to make that commitment. I can't tell you how important that is. Now, I'm going to give you an illustration, if you don't mind. I'm going to give you an illustration that's not world evangelism, although it impacted world evangelism. In 1982, I got a phone call from a guy named Frank Barker and a guy named Terry Geiger. And they said, Harry, would you consider going to plant a church that we could plant, from which we could plant a presbytery, from which we could send out missionaries all around the world? We've got 10 cities. Would you pray about it? I said, sure, I'll pray about it. Then I said, no. And then they said, keep praying about it. And the long story short is I ended up going. And so I went. Before I went, I was brought here. And I was in not a world missions conference. I was in a national missions conference at Briarwood in 1982. And I had the chance to be one of those 5-minute speakers. And when I spoke for that 5 minutes, I shared what God had called me to do that you sent me to do. Now, I'd love to tell you some of the stuff that's happened out of that. There's now a presbytery there. Christ Covenant is now a presbytery. I was just there yesterday. There's a presbytery there and millions of dollars and missionaries and everything. Praise the Lord for that. But here's what I wanted to tell you. I was scared to death to go there. And as I was scared to death to go there, and I shared 5 minutes to this congregation that Sunday morning, I came back for worship that Sunday night, and I sat on the left side of the sanctuary, and right in front of me sat a lady, and I said, oh, I met her. Her name was Emmeline Spencer. I said, we've taken our daughters through your book, A Woman That Feareth the Lord. And then I met her husband, John, who's an elder here. I'm going to use him as Nad. Normally I don't do this, but I'm going to do it today because I want you to see this big thing. It really comes down to individual commitments. Count me in, that God makes it a big deal, this movement deal. And so they said to me, they said, well, listen, we want you to know we're going to pray for you. Now, I have no idea how much they prayed for me or when they prayed for me, but I cannot tell you what that meant to me to know that here I was going to Charlotte, North Carolina with my 3 kids and my wife to plant this church. It was in a modular unit with 38 people that was supposed to become a presbytery. They said, we'll pray for you. So I went. Let me just give you one thing that happened so I can show you just a little bit more how personal flesh and blood this is. When I got there, I realized we had to do some pretty serious outreach. So I went and started some downtown Bible studies. This was before I even learned about Young Business Leaders. I'd have given anything for Phil Reddick to have taught me something when I did this. But I went down and started some downtown Bible studies, Southern Bell, Wachovia, and Duke Power. And went into Duke Power and started a little Bible study. And then one of the guys that started coming to the church, who was a Gideon, he said to me, my boy is the head of all of the facilities and maintenance and everything down at Duke Power at their office building. Would you go visit him and ask him to come to that Bible study? I said, Don, I'll be glad to do it. So I walked in there. I did not know who I was about to meet. He forgot to tell me that his son was 9 times powerlifting world champion in the squat. That was the biggest human being I've ever seen in my life. He had a chest that it would take you a week to walk around. He had thighs that was bigger than most of our chests. And he was just one of the biggest human beings I ever seen in my life. So I began to rethink how I was going to do this evangelism thing just a little bit as I went in to confront him on his need to become a Christian. Because he could have just kind of grabbed my legs and made a wish right there any moment he wanted to. But anyway, I shared the gospel and Bob committed his life to Christ, and he would come to my Bible study, but I'd begin to come and meet him and disciple him about 30 minutes before. So Bob, and he left steroids and he went into the drug free. Now he became a Christian. He went into the natural powerlifting associations and all those things. And he became the 15-year lay leader of our children's church ministry. And he and his wife were always there at what we call Promised Land. He led our sports outreach. He was one of the leaders in the team, the leadership team of our sports outreach ministry. Bob was just a grown-up kid. He was a kid in a grown-up body. I mean, a real grown-up body. I got a phone call this week. Bob, 48 years old, and he didn't wake up last Monday. He died. So I flew up there to do his funeral. And I got a chance to tell everybody about Bob loving Jesus. And we went through all the people that... I'll tell you, if you want to see something, go look up the Charlotte Observer, the obituary thing. And they got this guest book thing. Look at what comes on that. You want to see the impact that boy had? And I had the privilege to be involved in his life. And that's just one story. And I'd never got there if you hadn't sent me. Now, God didn't get his work done. God didn't need me, doesn't need us. God will get his work done. But just think, I would not have had a chance to be involved in that. And you sent me, and I had a chance to be involved in that. More than just a church and a presbytery, here's a man, flesh and blood. That's what we're really talking about here. People that need the Lord to be discipled by the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ. Second thing is not only will you make an intercessory commitment, but the second thing is you get an opportunity of this is, God, what do you want to do beyond my regular giving and faith promise that's going to missions? Now, most of you know that we make sure that 50% of everything that comes into Briarwood leaves going out of here for the cause of the kingdom. But this is a special way that we do it, with an offering beyond our regular giving. And in this offering, you know, I got to thinking, I wonder how many, because we got a lot of new Christians here, a lot of people that have never been exposed to faith promise giving, maybe even the words don't compute with you. So what does that mean? And how does that compute? And I know when I went up to do Bob's funeral, I was going to drive up and drive back yesterday. And then one of our guys in the church said, no, you're not going to drive up and drive back. Next thing I know, I got a plane ride up there and back in a private plane. And I'm sitting up there next to the guy. And my wife is in the back, and I'm sitting next to him, and I looked at him, and I know we're going up about 9,000, 10,000, 11,000 feet, whatever it is we're going to fly at, and I looked at all this stuff in front of me, and I might as well have been in the Apollo 13 capsule or something. I had no idea what I was looking at, and I looked at him, I said, you know, how's your heart? He said, pretty guy. I said, you know, you've been checked out and everything. He said, oh, yeah, I'm doing fine. I said, good. Because if you go down up here, buddy, we're going down with you, because there's nothing I can do. And then he started using words like we're going out to the runway. And he said, put your legs down, put your legs down. I said, why? He said, you got to have freedom of the thing. I said, why? He said, well, you got to have freedom because I may need to yank and bank. I said, say what? He said, I may need to yank and bank. I didn't know what that was, but it didn't sound good to me at all. He said, you know, if something goes wrong on the takeoff, I may need to yank it and then bank it. I said, well, thanks for telling me about that. So I put my legs down, and then when we got out there, he's got the throttle wide open and the brakes on, getting ready for us to take off. And I hear these engines and everything. And then he drops something off of his pen and he says, I got to get this. And he said, put your foot on the brakes and hold it for me. I said, what? He said, put your foot on the brakes and hold. I said, okay. So I put my foot on the brakes and I was holding it just as hard as I could. And that throttle's going. He's down there looking around for this thing. And then I guess he found it. And then he said, My plane.
I know it's your plane. It's not my plane.
My plane,
he said again. And I, what a time to start bragging. And then I realized, and then he told me, take your foot off the brakes. I now have control of the plane. My plane. Oh, okay. I said, good. Your plane. Keep it your plane till we land. Thank you. So faith promise. That may be a Yankin' bank for you. It may be a my plane for you. I don't know. But here's what Cindy and I do every year. Let me tell you, when we looked at the Bible, we know how to do the tithe and our regular giving. And when we looked at offerings, what we found in the Bible was that offerings were composed of three dynamics. Here's the three words: systematic, sacrificial, supernatural. Systematic, sacrificial, supernatural. You remember when they built the wall and restored it in the days of Nehemiah? Do you remember that? How'd they do it? Everybody built the wall in front of their house. Now, I'm not asking you to go home and measure your house to get your faith promise gift. But just pray, God, what have you given to me? What's my part? Out of what you have brought to me, it won't just stay to me, it'll get through me. What's my part? Where you have put me in life, what's my part? Systematic. Secondly, it's sacrificial. Cindy and I would just kind of work through. What is it this year that we and our family can give up for the cause of world evangelism? What is it? And then that would bring the second part of our decision. And then thirdly, supernatural. God, what is it you want to bring through us and to us in a way that we can't even think about? And we would just pray about it. It wasn't a name it and claim it deal at all. It was just praying, God, what are you laying on our hearts? I know that's in a subjective area that many of us don't feel that comfortable in, but boy, we've enjoyed doing that every single year and just seeing how God has answered that prayer. Not for us to advance in prosperity, but what he wants to get to us, to get through us. How'd they get that tabernacle built? Remember all that gold, silver, acacia wood, purple, all that stuff? How'd they get that thing built in the wilderness? You remember that? Where'd they get the stuff? Where did it, all these nomad tribe of nomads get the stuff to build something that gorgeous? You remember that? It's when they were leaving Egypt. And the people in Egypt, their slaves were going out and they started just throwing gold and get out of here. Go on. Go on. And we call that plundering the Egyptians. And the Egyptians got plundered by the hand of God. And that's where all of that came from. We're building a new tabernacle, not made with hands, but made with the power of the Holy Spirit. And what is it God's going to bring from the Egyptians and plunder into your life from this world and bring into your life for this cause? Now be careful, because they didn't use it rightly to begin with. All that gold and silver, the first thing they did with it was build a golden calf. That had to be melted down. Don't let what God gives you become used for idolatry. God, we're not going to build golden calves with what you bring to us from this world. We want to build a kingdom. So you pray through that systematically, sacrificially, supernaturally. What is it God's going to get through you to you to get through you? And then thirdly, count me in not only prayerfully, financially, count me in personally. Count me in. This year, I want to be committed to evangelism. I want to be a missionary in a special way. We're going to focus on that in the conclusion of our ministry theme of Christ-centered disciple-making throughout this year. Prayer and evangelism is where we're going to keep focusing in Christ-centered disciple-making. Lord, I not only want to be faithful in evangelism as a missionary here, but you may want me on the global ministry team to help in the sending of people. You may want me to go on a short, there's something like 18 short-term mission trips. Folks, we're taking embers to a flame to Ireland. You're sending us to Ireland. You're sending us to England. You're sending us to Scotland. We're set up to go to Ireland. We've got short-term mission trips all over the place that God has put in. Maybe God's calling you to be a part of one of those, or to help somebody be a part of one of those. Or maybe God's calling you into cross-cultural missions, or part of your prayer is, God, are you calling my children as well? But count me in personally. And that's really where this comes down to, is just personal issues. You know, a couple of years ago, y'all were so moved by God that we were able to take on an extra project. We sent a guy named Dave Eby to Uganda. There's a flesh and blood. Dave and Darlene went to Uganda. So now you know what you got in Uganda? With that little investment,
You got Birmingham Theological Seminary extended, Westminster Theological Seminary in Uganda. So now those Ugandan pastors don't have to come to America and go back. They're educated right there. You've got Embers to a Flame under Dave Eby doing church revitalization ministry in Uganda. He's doing training of church planting. It's amazing, folks. The thing is so large and wide. I was just jotting down and looking through some of this. 247 missionaries you're sending out. You're in 65 countries, fellow workers with the truth. There's just a couple little things. Last year, because of being counted in, 425 pastors were exposed to theological training. 56 youth pastors in Nicaragua. 425 pastors in Vietnam. 100 pastors we were able to train in China. You sent 1,650 Reformation study Bibles into the bush of Kenya, Zimbabwe, and Uganda. Men who have no access to any study tools at all. Last year, you reached out in love and mercy on the HIV and AIDS through Wayne and Pam Weidman, training 837 people to minister to them. Last year, the Briarwood Christian School sent a couple of teams out. They put medical clinics, dental clinics, eye clinics, vacation Bible schools, personal evangelism. Well, I could go on and on. But then it comes down to individual, Dave Eby and those pastors. And then it comes down to, I don't think most of you in the second service, you didn't hear the first service last year. You didn't hear Johnny Trump. Because of your giving about 4 years ago, we were able to do something extra beyond our regular budget of missions. And we were able to secure just... And a guy named Johnny Trump, who's this marvelous pastor in South Africa, trained somebody to take over his church. And with $400 as the first gift, we got him started as an evangelist. 4 years later, 9 churches, 12 preaching points. Just started with $400. And let me tell you where those churches... Harry, how do you do that $400? Go see where he planted the churches. On landfills where squatters are. Living in cardboard boxes. I preached there. That's where he's going. The cry went to heaven. Jesus said, count me in. Jesus now says to us, go and make disciples. Lord, count me in. Would you take a few moments just in silent prayer? Let's let the Lord make this moment sacred before him. God, how and what is it you're doing in my life and through my life? I'm about to say, count me in prayer, in finances, personally, going, sending, praying about my children. Lord, speak, lead. Jesus, we count it nothing to lose everything for Jesus. To say, count me in. Your great commission will not be an omission in our lives. What has been done throughout the generations, from the 12 to the 70, to Peter, to Paul, to Barnabas, the next generation, to an Augustine, to the reformers, to Whitfield, to Wesley, to all of those whom you've called, comes to us. We say, count us in, goers and senders. As senders, we want to be engaged in prayer on our knees. Whatever it is you want to give to us beyond our regular giving, we're ready to give it. And whatever you want to do with us here or being fellow workers with those around the world, we're ready. And we thank you in Jesus' name. If you want to continue.